fiber is a stronger connection. It is indeed stronger. The only thing that lasted through Saturday, I truly did think about this today. The only thing that lasted through Saturday's calamity was Upcountry Fiber. That was it.
Be careful there. I understand. I know your powers.
Look.
There's a game tomorrow.
Can I tell you something? I'm free as a bird today. I'm free, man. I'm free. You know why?
Why?
Because that weather forecast looks terrible tomorrow. So it ain't going to be Ashby's fault, folks. It ain't going to be Ashby's fault. It looks like showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. So when Ashby says it, she's just reading off the paper, man. She can't, Ben, she can't possibly do this.
What was she doing before?
She can't possibly do this to us.
Was she not reading off the paper before?
Well, yeah.
When it said it wasn't going to rain?
But she was reading clear skies and beautiful conditions and pristine evenings. That's what she's reading. If she's reading calamity, then maybe the skies will part.
If you're new to the show, and several thousand of you are this week, Ashby Mixon is our talented co-worker on the air here. And Ashby does the weather for the pregame. And the next time she is right will be the first.
Oh, man.
How are you today? You good?
I'm
free.
Good.
We know that. That's been established.
There's a little there's a little stress. I'm not going to lie. There's just a lot of parts. I feel like Ben Milstead. We're like, I'm in a good place, but I just know how much more there is to do and how many more hoops I have to jump through in the next 36 hours. And I just sort of know that, and I'm operating in that zone.
I'm in an Easter zone, Quok. You know what I mean by that?
I don't. I'm scared to ask.
Today's Friday, but Sunday's a-coming. That's exactly how I feel today.
That's so good. Oh, man, that's so good. I've got volleyball tonight. I'm excited. Clemson, South Carolina volleyball should be packed.
Very nice. What time does that begin?
That begins at 7 o'clock.
So first Friday parade at 6, you can go over there and wave at the pretty floats and all the sorority and fraternity folks, and then you can walk over and actually probably ought to get to Jervy earlier than 7.
Yes, you should. Should. My 2-year-old loves parades. She loved the Macy's Thanksgiving parade so much last year that we still watch it. She still asks to watch it from time to time. She'll wake up in the morning and go, "My watch bands," and that's what she calls it, bands. So all week long, we told her that you're going to go to the parade. Her grandparents will be there, and so Leah and I will be at volleyball, and she will go watch bands. And she has asked us if today's the day she gets to watch bands every day.
You also have men's soccer at 7 o'clock, which is sort of a bummer that they're at the same time, but, you know, it is. I'm sure the school would rather they not be at the same time either, but we don't always have control of that. So that is going on at Riggs Field tonight as well. So a whole lot going on campus for sure.
Texter says, name to know, Matty Ansball. Yes, I've been to a few matches. This is my first call, but very good freshman. I'm excited for men's soccer.
Yeah, Notre Dame tonight.
Always good, always fun. Two coaches that know each other very well. Can I tell you something? Today's the 25th anniversary of September. Oh, how are you? Before I do that, I need to ask how you're doing. I know you said you're in Easter frame of mind, but like...
I'm fine.
Is everything going okay?
I'm fine.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay.
I am. I'm ready. This has been a long week for everybody. Kind of wearing on you this week. But I'm good. I really am. We get to... As I said yesterday, you got 7 opportunities to go to a home game and tailgate and see friends and all the pageantry of that, and hopefully good football on top of that. And I am truly looking forward to it. I really am.
I'm looking forward to it as well. In fact, we have a poll up brought to you by Ingles. Low prices, love the savings. Get your tailgating stuff right now. Get it in at Ingles. Get those orders in right now. We have a poll up. It's for the Tiger pregame show, but I need you to participate today. I'm just curious what color your section is if you're going to the game. That's the poll question. Are you orange? Are you purple? Are you white? This is the Stripe the Valley game with Georgia Southern. And I just truly, it's twofold. Number one, to just remind you that there are assigned colors based on where you're sitting. Number two, I'm curious how many of our audience members are in those sections. It's curiosity. So go vote on the poll.
We have audience members in every section, my friend. I have no doubt.
But like, is it like, you know, is it 42% orange and 36% white and whatever the rest? You know, I just was like, it doesn't mean anything. I just kind of want to see.
I am now. I've seen a couple of renderings of what this might look like. I don't know if it is staggered with the three colors. I've seen one where the majority of the stadium is orange and it's like purple with a white stripe on it.
That's right.
So is that the official?
That is officially what it's going to look like. It is supposed to. It is supposed to basically be the helmet. So how the stripe is on the helmet, that's the way that both sides are. So like the middle sections will be more of the different colors, and as you get to the poles, it will be more the orange. So it will be more orange, but, you know, just curious. Tiger Sports Shop, you can get your shirts there once you figure that out. There is a chart where you can find out what color you are. I believe it's at clemsontigers.com.
If you go to, and a couple of texters actually asking that question right now. If you go to clemsontigers.com, on the right-hand side, there is a Stripe the Valley link there, and you just put in your section and it tells you. Pretty simple. So if you are in, let's say you are in UM, you wear orange.
Oh, nice.
If you are in, okay, I was trying to find one that wasn't. What's the 50?
Let's see. Boy, you're acting like I've sat on the 50, Ben. Probably G.
G is purple.
All right, there you go. Look at you with letters. That's great. I had no clue. I would have just been random. I'd spin the wheel of letters and pick one. That's really good.
When I used to sit in the stands, mine always started with top deck something. I don't know how that always happened. Just luck of the draw.
Oh, man. In fact, said, this isn't the top deck?
Top sure? Upper corner by the lights. P.S. Don't take your shirt off.
You put a disclaimer out there with like, there will be a flyover. Be sure to duck, like that kind of a that high up. There will be a fly.
I heard, was gonna say, speaking of, there is a flyover tomorrow.
Trey Kennedy talking about that this morning with Mickey. I love that stuff. Matthew Kreider's gonna be doing that. Nice. Local. He's a local guy, and I'm jacked. I'm really stoked for that.
You started this, and I interrupted you. Today is 9/11. We'll certainly mention that more than just now throughout the show, but it probably hits people my age a little more than it does your age, but it is something that I prepare for leading into 9/11. Yesterday, and it's funny, I see something new almost every year. Yesterday, I saw it was probably about a 1 hour clip, and I watched about half. I fast forwarded a good bit of it. Probably watched about half of it, but it was from News One, local news station in New York. Have you seen that?
I saw that it existed, and I saw maybe 2 minutes in the middle of that. Yeah,
and it is 15 minutes. It starts about 8:30, and I believe the first hour was hit at 8:47, if I remember right. I think that's right. But regardless, it starts about 15 minutes before the first hour was hit, and it just is entertaining in its own right because you're like, oh, yeah, that's how much jeans cost and things, and everybody's in a great mood. And then listening to the anchor try to process what he had, what was happening in real time. And, you know, his first reaction was the same as mine when I first saw it, that this is a small aircraft. In fact, they had someone call, they had an eyewitness on the air with them saying it sounded like a single prop plane, and it had to be because it was flying so low. And he described, like, he's like, I'm looking at the tower now, and it looks like it's banking, like it's the imprint of a plane banking left. And when you look at it, that's exactly what it looks like, you know. And obviously it was a much larger plane than a single engine plane. And he, you know, this eyewitness was going off of just sound. And then another one talking about being on the street below the World Trade Center and an actual aircraft tire hitting the road 20 yards from him. And then they are live on the air showing, I think World Trade 2 was what was hit first, and they're showing that as the second one hits, and you hear producers in the background talking, and you just sort of, at some point you realize what we all realized that day, that this was not an accident. And it was, I watched that yesterday morning, and I mean, even talking about it, it gives me chills, because I am right back in the same office at the same desk watching the same small TV in my office that morning watching that. I mean, it is just like, and I know that is the case for everyone when you see anything related to that, it just takes you back. I in the last year went to George Bush's museum or his library on SMU's campus, which is just, it's absolutely phenomenal. And a whole lot of that is 9/11. And then this past summer, last summer, took our youngest son to New York and went through the 9/11 memorial and went through all that with him. First time he had been there. So like in the last 2 years, you know, it's all become real all over again.
It's a difficult day for a lot of people. I remember, and you said it might be a little bit, I might be a little bit too young to fully appreciate, and I would say that's probably true. I don't think people too much younger than me probably have vivid memories.
You were 12, so
yeah.
No, you're right. That certainly would have hit you.
But the gravity of it probably didn't hit until later, because I'm in school. Now, I remember I was in law ed at Edwards. I was in Miss Dunn's law ed class. And I remember going to Mr. Boggs' room at Edwards. And, you know, there was lunch. It was on the TVs. And at some point, we had to turn it off and do class. But it was on the TV in Mr. Boggs' room where we, I think it was geography. It was some social studies class. I think it was like world geography or something like that. But you're doing like, it's like current events. Like you're in a class where you are talking about stuff. And watching the replay of the second tower get hit and watching some of the coverage there as a sixth grader, you don't really understand the gravity of it. Now, I'm a nerd. I was watching news. I've been watching the news my whole life. I like to watch the news. A lot of people are like, I can't deal. I love watching the news. I love watching what's going on. Even the stuff that bothers me, I want to do it. And at that age, I would go home and I would watch the news. I would watch CNN, Fox News, NBC Nightly News, or Tom Brokaw. Like I would. That's how I can do Tom Brokaw, because I freaking watched them when I was a kid. And that day, as reality sunk in, and you know, like I for some reason, I have this memory of like when we found out that Al-Qaeda took responsibility for it, and you're like, okay, well this, I don't really even know what that means, but this clearly escalated. Like, if somebody's claiming responsibility, then it's a big deal. This isn't just an accident that happened or even two accidents that happened, some air traffic control thing. This is a very dangerous thing. And I remember feeling that as an, you know, as a sixth grader, even though I didn't understand the full context, you know. That made it a hard day. It really did. I guess I was probably seventh grader. It made it a hard day.
A hard day for everybody that day. As we go to break here, it does remind me that a happy birthday today to my daughter-in-law Allie. It's a monumental birthday for her today. Probably one of those at the point where she would not want me to say the age, but a monumental birthday. And I hate that her birthday is easy to remember because I know it was on the 9/11. So, but happy birthday, Allie. On the other side, John wants to talk about the game and also 9/11. And, you know, phones are going to be open for 9/11 things all day long if you want to do that.
Very busy football weekend. We'll get to that as well. So we're going to do a lot in this show. Stay with us. More to come in a moment.
What's going on, everybody? Sam Jones here. The Tri-County Technical College High School Football Game of the Week presented by Ingles is back in action this week as the high school football season roars into week four here in the Upstate. As always, join Grayson Mann and me live as we break down all the action before, during, and after the game on Friday nights. Pre-game coverage begins at 7 p.m. with kickoff at 7:30 p.m. right here on The Roar, where every day is game day.
All right, this hour of the program brought to you by our friends at R&R Golf Carts. Folks, there is absolutely nothing better than putting yourself in a really fine golf cart. And in fact, when you get it for free, it's like doubly awesome, or like 5X awesome. They have two locations on Highway 123 in Seneca, Clemson Boulevard in Anderson. And they are, in partnership with EZ-GO, giving away an EZ-GO factory-certified pre-owned golf cart at every Clemson home game this season. That's seven home games, seven golf carts. And yes, that means that one golf cart will be given away to somebody tomorrow. rnrgolfcarts.com. You can go enter or go to either of their Upstate locations. They're also going to have an EZ-GO display at the Fan Zone adjacent to Death Valley. No purchase necessary to win. That's our friends R&R Golf Carts and EZ-GO.
We call it like it is. Even if you don't like it, we are 105.5 and 97.5. The Roar.
First time calling us for a system breakdown? We've got you covered. New customers take 10% off their HVAC repair services with Blue Ridge Heating and Air. If your HVAC system decided to stop blowing air, mention this special upon booking a repair at BlueRidgeHeatingAir.com. Your preferred Armstrong Air contractor. Blue Ridge Heating
and Air. Engineered Comfort Solutions.
We're here, Eric Snyder, Snyder Tree Care. Eric, what's a first-time phone call? What does that process look like?
When you call Snyder Tree Care, you get an individual on the phone that's going to listen to you and get you to the right arborist who have been trained, and he's going to come out and he's going to walk the property with you. And after that, the crews come out. They'll do whatever needs to be done, but they've got a plan for your property. Call us, 864-244-3088.
Leave it to Snyder Tree Care.
Buying a mattress is painful. That's why we developed the Duo Mattress, a patented two-piece mattress design that makes this process easy. The Duo is the most cost-effective, sustainable, adaptable, and comfortable mattress you've ever experienced. With our 100-night sleep trial and unique comfort exchange, you can rest easy knowing you're taken care of with engineered sleep.
When it's time to replace your roof, there are so many things to consider, from the type of roof you have to the many types and styles of shingles. Gilstrap Roofing understands how each part of a roofing system works together to give you a beautiful and watertight barrier. Don't trust the one thing that really protects your home to just anyone. Gilstrap Roofing has been covering the Upstate for four generations. Proven, experienced roofers for your home or business. Gilstrap Roofing, 269-1232.
This is Leighton Cubbage from Lakeside Lodge, Lakeside Lodge, Clemson. Across Lake Hartwell from Death Valley,
Lakeside Lodge has every amenity you could want, including Traditions on the Lake restaurant, a pool, hot tub, and fire pit. Stay with us for the weekend or buy your own condo to enjoy anytime and earn income using our managed rental program. Visit ownership.lakesidelodgeclemson.com to start your new game day tradition and go Tigers.
At Whataburger, we believe in more obsession, more showing off.
The bite pulled off.
More hunger. Meet the more for four menu. More kick, $4. More bacon bliss, $4. More Texas in your toast, $4. More smoky sweet, $4. Four icons, $4 each. Whataburger. Come one, come y'all.
Addiction can affect anyone at any time. At Recovery Concepts of the Carolina Upstate, we're dedicated to improving the lives of our patients through the recovery process. Medication-assisted treatment is considered the best approach for opiate dependency, and we believe that we're the best. Our staff includes psychiatrists, pharmacists, nurses, counselors, and more, all willing to help you. If you or someone you love needs a change in their recovery, call 864-306-8533. A phone call can completely change your life.
Parenting is hard. It's even harder if your child tells you they're in trouble with the law. What should you do next? Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, is here to help. Nick and his legal team know the best options to help defend and protect your child and their future. Whether it's a DUI, minor in possession, public disorderly conduct, or a fake ID, Nick Lavery is here to help you and your child. For your free consultation, call 864-654-3680.
Walk can get a little excited sometimes.
And a cold, 3 for the win. Yes! And a cold with 3.1 seconds left.
Come join the party.
Out of Bounds from noon to 3 right here on The Roar.
Hour number one continues. Out of Bounds. William Quagamush, Ben Milstead with you. Lots of good remembrances, and we'll get to more of that. We're also going to talk some football, and we've got callers on hold that want to do both today, so we'll do that for sure. Want to tell you about our friends at Breeze Airways. Folks, I know a lot of folks are flying in for the game today, and if you're flying in from all over the country, Breeze can be your airline. If you're coming for the game and you're coming on a different airline, you want to leave cheaper, Breeze can do that. But when I say cheaper, I don't mean worse. I choose my words carefully there. Breeze Airways lets you fly straight through to destinations for as low as $59 all across the United States. Los Angeles, you can go west. You can go south to Fort Lauderdale. You can go north to Pittsburgh, Columbus. They've got lots of different flights that you can choose from that are round-trip flights. And honestly, this is an airline that you need to get familiar with because they are continuing to grow and expand, and they're expanding right here in GSP. And GSP is a great airport, and we love it. And I'm so glad that I get airlines like this that give me a great experience at a low cost out of GSP. For more, now you can take advantage of Breeze, breezeairways.com, gspairport.com. Let's go to the Pratt Andrew Lawyers phone line. John, patiently waited through that first segment, joins us right now. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. Thanks for what you do.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to talk real quick about your poll question. I'm going to be in the orange section, but I'm going to be at home watching the burnt orange on Saturday night playing Ohio State.
So
hoping a little bit of those godly numbers, like 77-7 last night. Maybe we'll beat Ohio State 33-3, or even I'll take 66-6. You know, anyway. Just wanted to share all that.
I don't know if you want to win 66-6. That feels like a bad omen going forward, you know?
Well, if it's Ohio State, I'd be willing to take their chances.
Touche on that.
But hey, I appreciate y'all giving us the opportunity. I just wanted to share a little different perspective about 9/11. We had been living overseas as missionaries for a year, and we get home, and our neighbor tells us we need to go turn the TV on because a plane hit a building in New York City, and we just kind of thought, wait, what is she talking about? Are we understanding Portuguese real well right here? What, plane hitting a building? Go in and turn our TV on, and of course it's all in Portuguese, and we got, you know, maybe 50% of it. 3 days later, we bought a satellite dish and got CNN International, and then was able to get all the coverage from CNN International. But it was quite a, our kids were 3, 6, and 10, and just knowing, you know, we couldn't have done anything back here in the States, but just knowing we weren't home, it was a difficult time for our family. And then our mission board basically told us to keep a low key, low profile. You know, we were the only Americans that lived in this little town that we lived in. So everybody knew it. Everybody talked to us, and it was crazy. And then, I guess the next year, the first time we flew back home after 9/11, it just felt like we were stepping into the Twilight Zone because everything had changed. Yeah, just crazy, crazy thing that it's 25 years today. That just doesn't seem possible. But I think I'm about Ben's age, so maybe a little bit older. Anyway, just wanted to share that with you guys. Appreciate what y'all do, and thank you for the opportunity to share memories today because it's a big deal. September 11th is huge.
Sure. Hey, thanks, John. Appreciate the phone call very much.
Yeah.
And
y'all have a good day.
In. All right, you too. Look, I picked Ohio State, but I wouldn't be mad if Texas won. So I'll give John some credit for that.
You know, just quickly, and we're going to get these other three calls. As John was talking, I was just thinking about in New York even now. You know, I mentioned how we were there last summer with my son. New York is not a very reverent place as a whole.
I mean, you don't say.
That's the understatement of the decade. That area still is. The fire department that's right there still is. And, you know, John just said 25 years, and I'm thinking in my mind, no, that can't be, because I was just there, and it's still that the reverence around there and the respect that's paid, you would think it was 3 years ago, not 25 years ago. And not, you know, there's a lot of bad in America, but I do appreciate that we still recognize this and remember.
Yeah, I do think that our culture over time it does wear down a little. I think that was true of remembrances of Pearl Harbor. That it, you know, the further removed you are, the more it becomes like a myth or a story instead of like a lived experience. But it feels like, you know, somebody talked about the Twitter account today, and I remember this Twitter account that has started doing this. I don't know who this person is or whatever, that started doing 25 years ago today. And it's like, you know, it's like sports highlights or little fun things, whatever. And I remember people saying, in a few weeks, this account's going to get way more serious. And so there are, like, if you weren't there, I would encourage you, or if you don't remember, I would encourage you to go read like the long sort of minute by minute, shot for shot. I know Ari Fleischer, George W. Bush's former press secretary, did that. Press secretary, something like that. He did the minute by chief of staff. I don't know what he was. I think he was in communications. But he did that for years. And just so that people would not forget, and so that people got some insight into what that day was like when he was alongside the president on 9/11. I was at an event last night. I was a very small part of an event. It was an all-day event on campus yesterday where they're packing meals. And it was over 50,000 meals that were packed by student organizations and volunteers and community people and faculty and staff on campus and emergency personnel. And it was put on by public safety. And it's, you know, they did the I know you've done the stair, the event, walking the stairs. They did that this morning, yeah, in Little John, in conjunction with that. And every time they would reach a certain milestone, somebody would come up and would share sort of like why they're here or what's important to them. And some of the things that people shared about how 9/11 impacted, especially, you know, people who are still in, you know, first responders, emergency services. Like, we had one guy who was from Pennsylvania who said that 9/11 is the reason that he's in law enforcement. And, you know, it's Pennsylvania, Flight 93 goes down in Pennsylvania. And he talked about how that was so impactful for him, watching that local coverage, but also national coverage. It got him into law enforcement. You know, one woman said that it was the 9/11 is now the largest day of service in the country.
Is it really?
Like more than, you know, Earth Day, people say you go do so. There are lots of days where people do organize service, but this, you were talking about people being reverent at the site. I think there is a reverence for this day broadly in our culture, and not just reverence for, not that this isn't enough, but it's not just reverence for the lives lost and the carnage and the evil and the togetherness and the unity, but it is a recognition of need. It's a recognition of humanity across political differences and cultural differences and theological differences and economic statuses and, you know, sports teams and all this stuff. I mean, it just transcends all of this stuff. And I thought that was awesome when she said that, because you can see why this would be a day of coming together. Let's go to Bart, who's up with us next. We'll try to take one or two more before we hit our next break. Hey, Bart.
Hey, guys. I wanted to ask you real quick a question just going into Saturday's game.
Sure.
I mean, been listening all week. A lot of doom and gloom from people up here, man. You guys got to get them excited about something. So looking at LSU and the week that we've gotten to look at it, and looking at Chad Morris's first game against Troy, I see a lot of similarities, mostly like 0-8 both games in the first half on third down conversions. Right. And so I wanted to ask you, is there a good chance or a chance at all that this entire LSU game was just a magnitude of that first Troy game in 2011 for Chad Morris? I mean, the rushing yards, too, 17 rushing yards to the barely any for us. So this last game.
Listen, I agree with that. I would say this, Bart, and this is not what you're looking for, but it's close. OK, the best thing that you could possibly say as a Clemson fan heading out of that game is, we always suck in the first game. That's the best thing you can do. Is like, the first game always is terrible, especially on offense. And you could go back to 2011, and I detailed some of the games along the way where very rarely do you come out of a first game as a Clemson fan going, that offense was really firing. Even games that you won, you came out with questions and misgivings on offense with teams that eventually figured it out offensively. That is probably the best, most positive note you can hit, is that's actually a feature, not a bug, a game like that, and so it will get better.
Gotcha. Love that. And last thing for you, I've been looking at the weather. Can we just have Ashby say that it's going to be raining tomorrow? that might be the best thing for us.
I look forward to it, Bart. I look forward to it. I appreciate the phone call.
Thanks, guys. Have a weekend.
Thanks.
Bye.
Very much. You too.
Boy, I don't want to open this can of worms, but based on that call, I got to point this out. The roster in 2011, probably better than this roster. Boyd, Ellington, Nuke Hopkins, Jerron Brown, Adam Humphries, Dwayne Allen. Dalton Freeman was your center.
Sammy Watkins.
Antoine McClain. Landon Walker. And then, I mean, some Andre Branch on defense. I mean, you got some dudes on defense, too. I mean, hopefully I'm wrong about that. You had the talent, was able to excel there.
This is the hard part, and we'll get a break on this. And Bill and Clark, hang on, we'll get to you right on the other side. I wonder if we would have said that after the first game. Would we have said that about the 2011 roster after Troy?
Oh, no. Oh, no. We booed the heck out of him going to the locker room
day. Like, we knew, like, Sammy and Nuke were good, but we weren't sure about Ellington, and we weren't sure about Jerron Brown. Jerron Brown had been part of the terrible receiving corps in 2010. Maybe weren't as sure about the defense in some ways. So maybe, you know, it's interesting. It's almost an impossible question to answer, but I don't think you're wrong in this moment. All right, we'll go back to the phones. Hour number one continues next.
The Tigers are finally back in Death Valley. Get ready for an action-packed game day as Clemson returns to Memorial Stadium for their home opening clash with Georgia.
9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, MLB had a special on 9/11. I don't know if you guys are aware. It's the most fantastic show I've ever seen. And I'm a Met fan since 62, okay? And it just basically took you back to that time when they had the first ball game. But they did it through the lives of four. Sorry, one of them was a Yankee fan. But anyway, the other three were Met fans and their families who all lost people in 9/11. Mm. And as much as in Shea Stadium they couldn't stand the Atlanta Braves, if you remember, the first game was the Braves and the Mets when Piazza hit the home run.
Yes, that's right.
And this show, if you remember anything about 9/11, and of course, at my age, I remember it quite well. If you can get it on demand or they have a repeat, everybody should see it, especially if you're a baseball fan. The families and the kids down on the field and talking with Derek Jeter, it goes on and on. Bobby Valentine even comes off strong. Okay. but I can tell you part two very quickly. The story is told through four men who lost their lives at 9/11, firefighters, workers, etc. But I lost a very close high school friend, Peter Gansey. We graduated high school in 64 together, and he was the fire chief that 60 Minutes did the special on because he kept his men out and went back in. And, of course, you know, he died when the building collapsed. His two sons are now firemen in the same firehouse in New York City. Just a little side story. Mm. I appreciate you bringing 9/11 up to speed here.
Absolutely, Bill. I appreciate those thoughts, and I will be watching that at the first chance. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much.
Okay, you guys be good. Go Tigers.
All right, Bill. Thanks very much. One other thing about 9/11, Bill was talking about the those first games. You know, you see that George W. Bush throws a strike in October. Like, that's amazing. Those first games were eerie, man. They were eerie. I remember, you know, they didn't play football that Saturday, but the next week there were games. And I just remember everywhere, there's, like, these very honestly, every game felt like a Clemson game with the amount of patriotic stuff that happened beforehand and just the moments of silence and the remembrances. We saw that in baseball after a few days, and we certainly saw it the next week in college football. It was somebody at the event that I was at last night said that he said, I would do almost anything for it to feel like September 12th again. And he said, now, I don't want another 9/11, but 9/12 was awesome, is what he said.
Oh, so true.
And
we didn't have Republicans and Democrats and radical groups inside the U.S. being noisy at that time. It was just America, and it was awesome.
And he talked about how cool that and how he really wished that we could do that again. I got goosebumps when he said it because you could tell he meant it, and he's right.
A quick side note to George W. throwing out the first pitch. I think it was Game 3 of the World Series that year.
Yes,
it was his first sporting appearance after 9/11. The week after that, or a few days after that, you know, there were rumors, and then it became confirmed that he, you know, first, W was very competitive, obviously a baseball guy. Derek Jeter told him, don't bounce it. Remember that?
Uh-huh.
And he practiced the throw down inside the, you know, the tunnel or whatever. He took it serious, and his bulletproof vest restricted his movement. And he begged the Secret Service to let him do it without his vest. I've seen since then where he told somebody, like, no, I'm not wearing a vest out there. And like, sir, with all due respect, then you're not going out there. You know, in this matter, I outrank you. But I just remember, you know, sometime early November, you start hearing those stories. And in a strange way, Like, we were all still scared, you know, that something else was going to happen. There were rumors for months that other things were going to happen. And I remember how reassuring it was to me that, okay, the one human target that would be, you know, the icing on the cake would be our president. And he's willing to go out there in front of 45,000 people in an open-air environment. Like, he was willing to do that. He felt safe enough to do that. And in the strangest way, like, that was reassuring to me. And that was not his intent.
But that naturally, I always say this, like, and Jason, we're coming to you. I always think it's funny to watch people, like, strive and strain for leadership, whether it's, like, people run for office and they try to change themselves. History chooses you. And that was such a natural. I mean, say what you want about him. The speech he gave at Ground Zero, "You're with us or with the terrorists," unifying, yeah. Like,
for that moment, he was the type of leader you needed.
It was, and he didn't have to try. To your point, he just did what was naturally felt right, and it was what America needed at that time. Let's go to Jason in Columbia. Final couple minutes of this hour. What's up, Jason?
Yeah, I'm glad you guys brought up that pitch. I mean, it's impossible not to get goosebumps when you see that, and you hear when he walked over to the managers and stood with them for a second, and then the crowd just spontaneously chanting USA. And it takes me back to the night when Bin Laden finally met his end, and the baseball games, right, on ESPN, you know, the people in the stadium got news on their phones and started chanting USA.
Oh yeah.
And the announcers didn't know what was going on. And but you know, that gives me goosebumps. But you're right. You know, say what you want about W, he had his critics, and obviously what came after that was not all good, but in that moment, he unified the country. And what I remember, I mean, I was living in the Twin Cities, and I remember the days after that, driving on the interstates and just random people standing on the overpasses with an American flag waving at the you know, and it's kind of, you had to be careful not to look too long while you're on the interstate, but it was just such a well-intentioned, you know, thing that they were doing. And I remember reading the story of, there was one man in my area who stood there for weeks, and if not months. And he was the father of a veteran who had been lost in action. And that's just how he dealt, you know, with it. It brought back those feelings for him. So I understand what Ben's saying about September 12th. It just, everybody was on the same page. In my lifetime, I've never felt anything like it. The horror of 9/11, and then the unity that you felt in the weeks and months to come. And, you know, what a thing it would be if we could ever get back to that point.
Totally agree, Jason. Great sentiments. 100% agree. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. That's very well said. All right, let's take a break. Hour one is done. More 9/11, certainly, if you got thoughts, remembrances, feelings about that. We're going to talk some football as well in hour two after this.
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson. Greenville Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560. Cowpens. 97.5 Spartanburg. We are the Roar. More Walls.